Good evening, everyone. For WRCO News, I'm Todd Coppernol. As Stacy Mitchell of The Atlantic has reported, the disappearance of many independent grocery stores in the United States is often attributed to socioeconomic factors like poverty or low population density. Yet this explanation overlooks a critical historical shift. Until the late 1980s, small towns and low-income urban neighborhoods typically maintained a variety of local grocery options. The modern phenomenon of the food desert is intrinsically linked to the decline of independent grocery retailers, a trend that accelerated when federal policy moved away from competitive market protections. At the heart of this transformation is the Robinson-Patman Act of 1936. This legislation was specifically designed to prevent price discrimination, making it illegal for suppliers to offer preferential deals to giant retail chains simply because of their size. By banning these unfair advantages, the act ensured that competition was based on efficiency and service rather than raw purchasing power. During the mid-20th century, consistent enforcement of the act by the Federal Trade Commission maintained a balanced market where independent grocers and national chains thrived side by side. The landscape shifted dramatically in the 1980s when the federal government effectively stopped enforcing the Robinson-Patman Act. Unable to obtain competitive pricing, thousands of independent grocery stores were forced out of business. As local independent stores disappeared, large chains felt little pressure to invest in low-income or rural areas, often counting on residents to travel long distances to their consolidated regional hubs. To address the gaps in these communities, many experts now argue that the rediscovery and renewed enforcement of the Robinson-Patman Act is essential. By restoring a level playing field, local entrepreneurs could once again compete fairly, bringing the potential for the return of more grocery stores to the areas that have lost them. Richland County Administrator Trish Clements released updates for June 2026, beginning with a reminder for residents to look out for neighbors during the current summer heat. In personnel news, District Attorney Jennifer Harper has resigned, and the search for her replacement is underway with the opening posted by the governor's office. Additionally, Jeffrey Harrison was sworn in as the new Richland County Clerk on June 5th, officially beginning his role on June 8th. The county board made several key decisions regarding local infrastructure and services during their June meeting. They voted to extend the Richland Ambulance Service through December 31st, 2028, providing municipalities with time to form a district and manage the transition of operations. A committee involving board members and municipalities will be formed to guide this process. Regarding local grounds, repairs to the Upper Ash Creek parking lot have been completed following closure due to spring storm damage. Furthermore, demolition of the library, classroom, and science buildings at the Richland campus is scheduled to commence in July. While the future of the Coppertop remains under discussion for an upcoming campus reconfiguration meeting. Finally, residents of District 19 and 20 are encouraged to submit letters of interest to Clerk Harrison if they wish to fill current vacancies on the county board. The Courthouse Security and Facilities Committee is scheduled to convene Monday, July 6th at 10:30 a.m. The meeting will take place in the large courtroom at 181 West Seminary Street in Richland Center. The committee aims to address several critical items, including a quarterly update on courtroom security, an update on the security officer station, and a report on duress alarms. Additionally, the agenda covers discussions regarding staff training, the 2027 Court Safety and Security Conference, and the ongoing review of the physical risk assessment. Long-term goals, such as renovations for the small courtroom and the potential 2027 capital improvement purchase of a metal detector, will also be reviewed. The meeting will further address security requests and the development of general court security and facilities policies. The session is slated to conclude after reviewing the next meeting date, which is proposed for October 12th. The village of Muscadet is set to honor a monumental moment in American history this Wednesday, July 8th, at 5 p.m. The community will gather in front of the Muscadet Village Hall at 206 North Wisconsin Avenue to participate in a nationwide reading of the Declaration of Independence. This event commemorates the first public reading of the historic document, which originally took place in Philadelphia, July 8, 1776, when Colonel John Nixon recited the words to a diverse crowd of supporters and loyalists. The ceremony will feature a presentation of the colors by the Muscadet American Legion Post 85, along with special musical performances. Attendees can also look forward to a few surprises as part of the program. Following the reading, light refreshments will be served at approximately 5:30 p.m. Those planning to attend are encouraged to arrive by 4:45 p.m. as seating will be limited. Attendees are also invited to bring phones or cameras to capture photos and video of the historical reenactment. In the event of inclement weather, the ceremony will be moved indoors to the meeting room within the village hall. For more information, please contact Mark Cupp at 608-739-2179. Celebrate America's 250th anniversary in grand style this July 4th at the Veterans Memorial Park in Hillsboro. The American Legion Post 223 is proud to sponsor this year's festivities, which promise an afternoon and evening filled with entertainment for the entire community. Beginning at 4 p.m., enjoy live music by Donnie Razek, followed by a special performance at 7 p.m. of the play Oh Say Can You See 250 Years of American History. Throughout the event, from 4 p.m. until 9 p.m., attendees can enjoy various food, drinks, and family-friendly activities. The day concludes with a spectacular fireworks display at dusk, lighting up the sky over the Veterans Memorial Lake. The Sauk County Sheriff's Office reports the scammers are at it again. They received several phone calls yesterday and today from citizens receiving a call from a Sergeant Hall telling them to withdraw money and send it to him as they have a warrant. There are other variations of this scam as well, in which the caller says a specific amount needs to be paid or a warrant will be issued and you will be arrested. They do not have a Sergeant Hall who works for the Sheriff's Department. The Sheriff's Office also does not call people to tell them they have a warrant and to pay them directly. Please do not send any money or go to a store to get any money. If you receive a call like this, it's a scam and you will not get your money back. Deputies do not collect any money for citations or warrants. On Wednesday, the Iowa County Communications Center managed three distinct incidents throughout the day. The morning began at 6:14 a.m. with a report of a hit-and-run accident involving a semi in the 7000 block of U.S. Highway 18-151. An Iowa County deputy's investigation at the scene led to the arrest of 26-year-old Riley Bolden for commercial driving while disqualified. Bolden was subsequently booked into the Iowa County jail. No injuries were reported from the collision. Later in the day, emergency services were dispatched at 5:31 p.m. following reports of a fire alarm at a residence in the 500 block of East Grace Street in the city of Dodgeville. Personnel from the Dodgeville Fire Department, Dodgeville EMS, and Iowa County deputies investigated the site, ultimately determining the alarm to be false with no injuries reported. The day's activities concluded with a 10 p.m. traffic stop conducted by an Iowa County deputy near the intersection of U.S. Highway 18 and Lisa Street in the city of Dodgeville. Following an investigation, 21-year-old Angel Manna was arrested for operating with a controlled substance, specifically as a first offense involving passengers under 16. Manna was transported to the Iowa County Jail for booking. In Monroe County, emergency services responded to a series of four significant vehicle crashes on Wednesday, resulting in various injuries and multiple arrests. The day's incidents began in the township of Byron at the intersection of State Highways 21 and 173 in Toma, where an SUV collided with a semi-truck. The crash, which occurred around 1:05 p.m., resulted in two minor injuries for the occupants of the SUV. Following an initial investigation, it was determined that the semi-driver, Tuzgi Tesfaye, had failed to stop at a stop sign, leading to the collision and resulting in issued citations. Later that afternoon, at approximately 4:45 p.m., responders were called to State Highway 27 near Dallas Avenue in Sparta for a single-vehicle rollover crash. Two occupants sustained serious injuries after the vehicle entered a ditch at a high rate of speed. The driver, Gerald Smith, was arrested for a ninth offense of operating while intoxicated, along with several other felony and misdemeanor charges after being treated at a local hospital. A similar single-vehicle rollover occurred shortly after at 6:13 p.m. on Grosbeak Avenue near Grover Road in Camp Douglas. This incident left five people, two adults and three juveniles, with minor injuries. The Monroe County Sheriff's Office continues to investigate the factors behind this high-speed crash. The final incident of the day was reported at 10:21 p.m. on State Highway 27 near Jamison Road in Sparta. A hit-and-run occurred when a vehicle backed out of a driveway and struck a boat being towed by another motorist. While no injuries were reported, deputies quickly located the suspect vehicle and arrested the driver, David Dunnigan. Dunnigan faces charges for a seventh offense of OWI and hit-and-run after deputies observed clear signs of impairment. Throughout the day, the Monroe County Sheriff's Office was supported by numerous local fire departments, ambulance services, and towing companies to manage these scenes and maintain public safety. Polk County Sheriff's Office said emergency responders were called to Campfire Cove Aqua Park at Do Nothing Campground east of Balsam Lake on Tuesday evening. A 9-year-old victim was found and life-saving aid attempted, but the victim was pronounced deceased at the scene. No other details were released, and the apparent drowning was under investigation by the Sheriff's Office and County Medical Examiner.